for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture as position podcast with over 50 years of playing PlayStation and 10 plus years in that game's media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturers. We can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, pardon me, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. Now, Max, we may need that additional funding, not for like any larger Popsy brand or For The Players related need. Obviously all my 30th anniversary shit arrived this week, and it's like, yeah, that costs money. It'd be nice to have that money back. I like what I've got, but nice to have the money back. Because you were unsuccessful at getting one, weren't you?
Yeah, I half-assedly tried and went, oops.
Yeah.
When it failed the first time, I'm like, well, I don't care. I really don't get that much.
Saying that though, yeah, because yeah, your history with the original PlayStation is a little different than to say mine. However, like I've got them here. You know, there are we do have unboxing and display video shorts. We jumped into the shorts game this week, Max. I took what my fucking day job is and made it this.
Oh, that's not what I thought you meant. Okay,
what have you been?
I thought you were putting your legs on show.
Oh, hang on. Well, in that case, bam. There's some knee. Calm down, everyone. All right, and that was a lot, but it happened. So for context, I will now parade my lovely collection like a small child who just got a new toy and was like, "Hey, random person, look." Actually, no. So this is the 20th anniversary DualShock 4. Just for your comparisons, that was pretty standard. A lot of black, pretty simple. It's a darker gray thumbstick. Now, Max, get ready. You're not going to know what's going to happen next, but except you will, because it's the DualSense. And there it is. So that's the 30th anniversary DualSense. Quite lovely. I like the tone is a little different to the DualShock 4, in that the darker tone is lighter on the DualShock 4, but the thumbsticks are also darker. We're here. The two-tone is darker, but the sticks are lighter. And the buttons are a see-through rather than a solid. But, and on the back, does anyone say it? Oh, it doesn't. On the back, it does have PlayStation 30th anniversary laser doohickeyed on there. Feels good. It's very lovely. Little colors on the dongaroo. The little button. What's that button called? The home button? But no, it's lovely. I have a story.
Maybe I can try again in 10 years.
Yeah. You see what happens. And then, of course, lovingly traded my good friend Craig O'Flaherty. He switched up. He got this, which was the 30th anniversary DualSense. What was it called? PlayStation Portal. And he's like, well, I wanted a Portal anyway, and you wanted the cool one, so let's just swap. So I now have a very cool gray one, and I do love it. I love looking at it. But what's also really interesting is the cable that came with the Portal. It's the same matching gray, and it's got the little logo. Oh, you can be able to see it on the pluggy bit. Pardon me, which is the triangle, the three, circle, X, square. It's very clever. But from that quick glance, Max, are you still as apathetic to your not having one?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, lovely. I did have an interesting...
I'm happy that you're happy.
Oh, I'm very happy.
Almost. Yeah. Another control is another control. I've got five of the bastards sitting in front of me. Like, I really don't need.
I did have an interesting conversation about these, though. So we're at the dinner table. My son was over this weekend. We're sitting there, and Phoebe, my partner, just kind of looked at me, and she goes, "Man, I really can't believe you bought that entire controller with never planning on using it." And then my son goes, what do you mean? So I went, "Oh, well, I bought a controller. It's this really cool PlayStation controller, and I'm never going to use it. Like, I bought it for a collection. I'm going to put it on a shelf." And he looks at me with, like, absolute bewilderment. He's like, "Why would you do that?" I'm like, "I don't know, because PlayStation means a lot to me. The two-tone is quite, you know, lovely. It's my version of art." And he's looking at me, and he's not quite clicking what I'm putting down. I'm like, "I don't know, I like collecting things, and I don't know, it's probably because I'm autistic." And my son, who, spoilers, is also autistic, looks at me and goes, "What? Why would you want to be autistic?" I'm like, "Mate, you are too." He's like, nah, I don't think so. I'm like, "No, dude, you are." So he goes, "Well, why would that be?" I'm like, "Because I made you. Like, you're me." He goes, "Yeah, but no, mummy made me." I said, "Yeah, and she's pretty fucking autistic too." He goes, "No, she's not autistic. She's just tired." So that was an interesting conversation with my son.
Riffle, but
absolutely bang on. She is very tired all the time, as we all are. But that did make me chuckle. And it was one of those things, like, you know.
So what you're telling me is you should have just bought the empty box and it'd be fine.
No, I still have the box. The box is over there. But yeah,
the box would be on display and then you'd be fine.
Yeah, you could have put a rock in a box. I'm like, ooh. Actually, no, I would have opened that because I'm not that kind of dork. Like, I will open my action figures. I will open my controllers.
Ah, so you're a fake collector.
I'm a fake collector. No, I'm a realistic collector.
An out-of-box collector.
Yeah, I'm an appreciative collector. Like, don't get me wrong. I still have... There are some things on this shelf behind me that are in their boxes. Like, did you... You probably didn't get into it. Did you ever get into, like, the fucking, like, Totakus?
Yeah, I think I have a Crash Bandicoot one behind me.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so these were the first, not watching the video version, these were a thing released through GameStop, which is therefore EB Games here in Australia, and they were essentially amiibos without the functionality and for brands other than Nintendo. So I've got quite a few down there. I kind of got everyone that PlayStation released. Oh my God, you do have a Crash Bandicoot.
No, it's just a Crash.
That's a cool fig, though. Sorry, I just realized you didn't have headphones on the entire time. That is a cool fig, though.
Mm.
But yeah, so I've got a bunch of them down there. And other than that, there's very little that I won't unpack. But if you're not that guy, why is that Crash in the packet, Max?
Because it was given to me as a gift, and...
I don't care.
Basically, what happened was, it got put up on a shelf, because we had guests when I was given it. And then I forgot about it, because it wasn't in my line of sight ever.
Ah, your ADHD out of sight, out of mind, Max. Which have you done that assessment yet? Oh, God damn it.
No. So yeah, that's what happened.
What about yourself, Maxis? Have you anything cool, multi-branded, color-related crap? Anything remarkable happen?
Not really. Not this week. It's been pretty chill. I've been in employment limbo for a while.
Yeah, so has that all wrapped itself?
Hopefully tomorrow it will have.
So for those that are playing at home, like if you're comfortable to share, so what was sort of the...
I can't go into too much.
Oh, not the specifics, but in terms of like what happened. And
yeah. Basically, the company I worked for went bankrupt. Contract that I was subcontracted to got moved to another company. Other company went, "Hey, you want to just come work for us so we can hit the ground running?" I'm like, "Yeah." They're like, "Cool."
Like, "Cool, then you're hired." And like, "Yes, I am."
Yeah, so I've been working, but I haven't signed any contracts yet, so that's going to be fun. I'm going to have to backdate everything. And
oh, yeah, shit, it's a good point. Because, yeah, like, because you are no longer employed by that company at all. So you are working for nobody right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You're freelancing. You're an intern. You're
I'm Max literally intern. I'm freelancing.
I'm free. Outside of that, how you been, man? What's going on? How's things?
Yeah, things are good.
Yeah?
Things are chilling, yeah. Just, you know, it's getting that. We put our Christmas tree up this weekend.
Are you a November tree person?
No, normally I'm not. Normally I'm a let's not do a tree at all person. But it was an excuse. We were cleaning the lounge room up.
Yeah.
And we're like, where are we going to put the fucking tree this year? Because our lounge room's quite packed. Secondary.
Yeah, because it's kind of like it's not a big long room. It's kind of like two rooms, but they're slightly adjacent. So there's not a real, like, shared
space. But Hadley also has her bullshit fucking Barbie dream house in the corner.
Oh, that thing, that thing is fucking huge.
So, spoilers, we fucked that off into the garage, and the tree is now there.
Like, spoilers, because I was curious. I wanted to know what was going to happen to the Barbie dream house.
Yeah. Well, the Barbie dream house for the last 3 weeks has been getting demolished by our son, who just likes pulling everything off it.
Yeah.
So, the Barbie dream house no longer has a pool. The slide's broken.
I love it because, like, it's not as if... he, you know, is like helping you pack it up. He's just straight up breaking it. Yeah, like the in the chat, like Godzilla. Yeah. He's a little Godzilla, a little kaiju.
The palm tree that's on top of it has a clear fucking crease mark in the plastic where he's just bent it in half trying to pull it off.
Kids are crazy.
Glad that's gone.
Oh, but now he's just going to yank the Christmas tree. Have you baby gated it?
We've baby gated it essentially. So we've put the Lego table in front of it so he can't get into it. So now he just stares longingly at it trying to climb over the table, which he can almost do.
Well, because, yeah, your son is quite capable of like mounting like couches and tables. He's a bit
dexterous, yeah.
Dexterous, that is absolutely a good word for it. But no, it's interesting because I'm absolutely not a... Christmas tree in November person, and especially with my son's birthday being like early December, we only ever do it after, you know, his birthday, right? What's yelling at me? Get out of here! But yeah, so like as a result, yeah, like we only ever do like Christmas doesn't start until after my son's birthday, and like that's totally a me thing in that. Like my birthday was early November, but growing up in a sort of a lower socioeconomic household, a lot of my birthday and my Christmas was crammed together. So I never really felt like I had a birthday or that Christmas was really Christmas because, you know, the present, you know, like, oh, we've got a combined present, but you get it for your birthday or you'll get it for Christmas. So one of them always felt shittier. So with my son and him being born in December, I was like, that is never happening to him. Now, granted, your daughter's in a very tough position because her birthday is literally like fucking right on the nose. But like, yeah, my son, yeah, like I was like, yeah. No, I want him to experience his birthday and then I want him to experience Christmas and I want him to know that they are different and that he still gets a day for him. But yeah, your daughter, no chance.
Yeah, well, she's on the 23rd.
Yeah, it's fucking rough.
Yeah. See, I lucked out. I have what was considered a perfect birthday as a child because everything is separated by 4 months.
Mm.
It's Easter, and then my birthday is 4 months later, and then Christmas, then Easter, then birthday, then Christmas.
See, that's not bad. That's pretty good.
Beautiful.
So, like growing up, even now. So like growing up, my sister was in September, my mum was in October, I was in November, my dad was in December. And then, so my ex-wife...
That hasn't changed, mate.
No, but my household has changed. So, like, yeah. So then my household was myself, November. My ex-wife was in September. My son was in December. And then now, with Phoebe in the picture, she's October. So the back of the year is just banked. And which is really hard because, you know, we have fun with birthdays. Oh, cool. Oh, well, then there's no gap. It's just like, oh, then it's the next person's birthday. Then it's the next person's birthday. So, like, I'm only thinking about my son's birthday right now. And I've got his presents, and I can't wait to give them to him. I have no fucking idea what's going to happen for Christmas. Because I've not even thought about it. Because his birthday comes first. So, it's a bum rush for 3 weeks.
We've already bought both Christmas and birthday gifts for Hadley. They're, like, stored in our cupboard ready to go.
You are efficient. I am neither of those things.
I'm not. My wife is.
Yeah.
I'm in the same boat. Like, we've got Ollie in September. My dad's December, Ali's December, Hadley's December. And then our nieces are January, February. Ali's parents are February, March.
Wow. Oh my, you have like every month covered.
My sister's in February as well. So the last 2 months and the first 2 months are just
You are about as packed as the game release calendar, like in your life. Everyone's just moving from everyone's hanging about in like Q4 and then just cram in a Q1, whatever they couldn't fit in the back end of last year. Damn. Speaking of game releases and all that sort of stuff, what have you been playing this week?
I've been grinding Metaphor. Ooh. I think I'm really, really close to the end. So I have now, I am now ranked number 2. Go me. It heavily is implying that I am in the end zone.
Well, if you're at number 2, I imagine the story's linear enough that you are supposed to hit certain things at times.
Yeah. So, as I've mentioned in the past, essentially the king of the realm had died. The prince who would have succeeded him has been cursed and is incapable of doing so. And they're like, hey, the king's magic has basically gone. People can put their name forth, and whoever's, you know, essentially the crowned favorite will win. Hmm. Yay, democracy.
This seems like the opposite of democracy, but that's cool.
With the caveat being anyone who's like high ranking, the king's magic would protect them from being killed. So you can't just like assassinate the leader. They're like,
except that did happen at the beginning of the game.
So yeah. So well, it turns out that the caveat to that is if you throw down the gauntlet and you duel someone, there's no protecting them. Like, as long as it's a formal challenge and you're not trying to do it on the slide.
Oh, okay. So it's more about the stealth. So
I have now been challenged by number 1.
Oh.
And I currently have 8 days on my calendar until that challenge.
The next 8 days, your character's having panic attacks.
For the next eight days, I'm leveling up my social ranks as much as I possibly can, because I have a feeling I'm not going to get a chance to do so after these 8 days are up.
Well, yeah. So is that sort of the?
I'm wrapping up like side quests and doing all this like other fetch quests for people. And it's like, we should be spending our time training. I'm like, dude, I'm level 99. We'll be fine.
Oh, yeah, because I forgot you smashed the front end of the game so hard.
I didn't know this. It's all good. So, but yeah, I'm having a blast. The story has taken a fucking wild turn.
Still good, though?
It's good. Explains it really well. They had been kind of foreshadowing it the whole time.
Mute in the chat does confirm. If you're 99, you're all right.
Should be fine. We'll be fine. Underflow back to level 1. I'm fucked. I think it is the best story told by an Atlus game. Ooh, so I much prefer this to the Persona series. So I'm just kind of wrapping up the last of the trying to unlock the special archetypes, the special classes by leveling all my party companions to level 8. I've got 4 of them done so far. So hopefully I've got 8 days left to get the rest of them done. We'll see what happens. I can only do 2 activities per day before I get too tired and have to rest, and then it forces the next day to come around. So,
And then so, it screws you up. Does it follow the same persona? Like, you can do...
So it follows.
You have like three times a day, and you can only do one thing at each time, right?
No. You can do one thing in the afternoon. You can do one thing in the evening, but you can't do anything in the evening if you've gone dungeoneering in the afternoon.
Those same rules apply here.
Yeah, same rules apply for So if you do a dungeon, you're like, I'm way too tired to do anything at night. I've got to go straight to bed. It's like, well, I'm not really that tired. I don't really find anything. Mm. Like, it's fine. I'm okay.
And I guess the only way to do that is like just dungeon in the evening.
No, because you can't. It won't let you travel in the.
Right. You're locked in your house.
It's too dangerous to travel at night. So you can't travel. You can only travel to the cities at night time where it's safe. So you can do activities at night with people, but you can't do.
Yeah, no Red Bulls, says me.
Dangerous activities because they won't let you fly your airship because something might happen.
So, comparatively, as you mentioned, because you are cramming your social queue, the social connections and stuff now. So, compared to, because from a story perspective, as you said, like it is a lot better than Persona, at least in your opinion. How has managing the calendar been? Because if you're cramming the social stuff now, did you just make the choice to not focus on it, or did you feel compelled to or pushed to not?
Because you don't start with all your party members, some of them don't join till the end game. Like, I only met one of them like a calendar week ago.
Oh, okay.
So it depends on when they join you as to how. And obviously some things are time gated, so it's like you can't progress their story until you reach level 4 courage. So you would go work on your courage to be able to do this. Or some things are set in stone of the game where it's like to unlock this person's social link, you have to do this side quest, but this side quest isn't available until August.
Okay. Yeah.
So like there's things that are blocked, so you can't just steamroll it at the front.
Yeah, because I was curious on whether like that was an outcome of like bad calendar choices like earlier in the game.
Now, because I'm steamrolling it at the end, all of my royal virtues, which are like my courage, imagination, all of those things, they're all maxed down. So I don't have to be like, oh, I don't have this. I've got to go do this now.
Yeah,
because I front ended all of that, knowing that this is probably going to happen. I kind of circumvented it. I don't think I'm going to be able to get all of them done, just owing to the fact that some days your social people don't want to fucking talk to you.
Sometimes I feel that they only
talk to you if you're traveling on your airship, and sometimes you don't need to fucking travel on your airship, so you just don't get that opportunity to talk to someone. So, yeah.
Because you're not going a platinum run or anything, are you? No, you're just playing.
I'm just playing. I mean, I'm playing on PC, so there is no platinum.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, thanks. So, 5-star games for the code. I forgot it was PC. My bad.
Yes. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get a PlayStation code, but they were they were nice enough to.
Original plan was, yeah, like, I'll play it on PC, you'll play it on console, but we still haven't properly worked out how to game share. Laziness mostly.
I'm having an absolute blast, and I have an inkling I know how this is going to wrap up. But as it's pulled a crazy twist on me before, who knows.
So how has the, like, I know, like, you know, you haven't finished yet, so we probably have more discussions for next week, but it's like some of those like heavy themes in throughout the game being like sort of, you know, racial discrimination being a massive factor within the game. How have you found it's told that story up until this point? And like, look, as you said, looking forward, like what you're seeing, do you think it's going, like, from the reviews, it appears it does conclude quite well, but are you liking where it's going in these, the thematically at least?
Yeah. So like what I've seen so far is basically the people themselves kind of have this inherent racism from the church, because the church kind of operates as like the lower body of like the next step down from the king. So like whatever the king says goes, and then if the church says it, it must be true. And the church is like, we just fucking hate all these people in particular.
That sounds exactly like the regular church.
And the church is painted as like a gigantic piece of shit in this game.
Okay. Which most of them are.
And it's portrayed very well.
Okay.
They're more of a cult.
Yeah.
Surprising no one.
with comments around games, like, you know, keep politics out of games, and most people that they term that in more of social politics or identity politics. Does the, like, and a lot of the backlash to that is like how it can feel quite ham-fisted. Do the politics within this game, as it is quite a major part, feel like it's beating you over the head with an allegory to
not at all.
No,
because the main through point of the story is you're tasked with curing the prince of the curse. It's just like you are trying to get the bad guy. Like, the bad guy may not be affiliated with the church. It's just this random guy who's like, I think I could be a better ruler, therefore I'm going to take out the royal family and blah blah blah. It's not kind of it doesn't seem to be pushing any sort of agenda. Mm. There's just a, it's just a well-told story.
Cool, cool, cool. Like, not that I would worry if it did. It was just more of a curiosity. Of,
yeah.
There's a potential line there. I know, like, I'm sort of asking questions that are more like final review stage, but I'm just genuinely curious because it's like you've been playing it forever. So how is the combat? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
50 something hours.
Yeah. So how have you felt like the combat has progressed? And
I haven't done proper combat in so long because that's I can just smack shit in the Overworld and it instantly dies because I'm so high level compared to, like, comparatively. So, like, for instance, the last side mission that I was supposed to do had a recommended level of 60. So I walked in there at level 90, just smacked shit in the face and walked out. Obviously, the boss, the end bosses of dungeons, you don't get that opportunity. You have to fire them. And there's... when you take part in combat in this game, if you can beat the enemies without taking any damage, you get like bonus XP, bonus gold and stuff. I normally can finish whatever creature I've come up against within my 4 turns that I get, like one turn per party member.
Yeah,
I can normally clock them before they even get a turn. So the combat's still fun, like finding out, like playing around with all the different archetypes. Working out their strengths and weaknesses is quite good. The archetype that I've got, and because you can inherit skills from other archetypes that you've learned from, you can kind of make yourself a jack of all trades. So, like the main player character that I'm that you control, for me, he's kind of a I'm playing him as a mage, and he has one of every elemental type. So no matter what I come up against, I will have a strength against it. I just have to figure out what it is, which is cool.
Is that built into the character, or is that your min-max skills?
No, that's me inheriting the skills, so I have one of each thing to make sure that I'm covered across all my bases.
Yeah.
Excellent. And then the rest of my party members I can just do fun stuff with, because I know I've got one character that I can just... So like two of my characters are summoners, and the last one's just a heal bot. And then my main protagonist has like one of every skill, so nice. It's been good.
Fantastic.
But other than that, I have not been playing anything. I binge watched fucking season 2 of Arcane.
Yeah, that started a fun conversation in our
chat. I'll die on that hill. You guys are all fucking
ready. All right, so okay, let's clarify the chat. So in the chat, Max goes, "Oh man," he's like, I've just watched the last 3 episodes of Arcane. If this doesn't win Best Adaption, then the Game Awards are fucked. And myself and our good friend Joel Gralton jumped in and went, "Whoa, hang on. No, these episodes released after closing nominations. These cannot be, your opinion on these episodes cannot and should not impact your voting decision or the nomination process." And that was kind of the thing. Our stance was, we'll kind of just fuck arsing around. Well, but the main point was, these wrong. Cannot be considered, but everything prior, like if anything that took place or released prior to closure date, totally in consideration. That was my stance.
Well, the whole thing is, like, you're not wrong, but the first 6 episodes are in that section of
absolutely, and I
but
can't take away from it.
To be fair, like, rules as written, it's only for nominations, not for voting and winners.
Oh, absolutely, so like, I completely understand that,
and that's why early access titles can win Game of the Year.
Yes, but I mean that for a I believe that does give it an advantage to Arcane, because the grounds at which they are selected, the criteria they're selected upon, none of the other things in the category, at least from memory, are like released more shit afterwards. So they're like, here it is as a package, and they're like, no, here's more. And then also recency bias is such a fucking huge thing. And like, that's not me diminishing its value. I'm sure it's fucking awesome. Am I going to watch it? Hell no. But from what I've seen, it looks great. So it was just more of around the bullshit of the Game Awards, especially off the back of the DLC being a Game of the Year, which is a whole other thing. We didn't discuss that last week, did we?
We did, because rules as written, it's always eligible. Like, DLCs have always been eligible to win Game of the Year. There just hasn't been one good enough to do so.
It's still a weird one. Like, it's just given its own category.
I think it's weird, and I think it should just have its own category. Like, it really should.
Yeah, I'd much rather, like, if they want, like, hey, this DLC, once again, if you also want to ensure a fucking win, you give it its own category, your DLC category. It's going to smash anything you put in there.
Because I think everyone was outraged that, what was it, Cyberpunk won Best Ongoing Game.
Yeah, that was worse. That was worse.
Like, it's not a fucking ongoing game. It received an update. That's not an ongoing game.
Correct.
But then, by that standard, also, so is No Man's Sky. It just keeps getting updates. It's not
That technically does make it ongoing, and it does have multiplayer. You know, most people presume an ongoing game is multiplayer in some way, a live service. And with the, although it also came later than it was originally promised, there is multiplayer within No Man's Sky, so it does become a live service ongoing experience. Cyberpunk, however, just wasn't a full game on release.
Just wasn't a full game.
No.
Yeah. Other than that, I haven't really been playing much. My kid is still playing Astrobot, and she got very excited just before we started recording. You know the level with the chicken egg boss at the end? We got to kill the three chicken eggs?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so she beat that by herself for the first time.
Hey, well done.
I fucking nailed it, like he did. turn the PlayStation off.
Yeah, it's time for bed. Get here.
Yeah.
How is she going with the speedruns?
Oh, shocking. I had to help her. Oh, she's sitting at 287 bots now.
Well, she's closing the gap.
She's almost finished it. I had to help her with the helium speedrun.
The elephant one.
Couldn't unlock
the... Yeah, that was a bit shit.
She couldn't unlock the hell diver. She's just a bit too slow. She couldn't work it out. So I went and did that one.
You really have to, like, absolutely just not run on any platform to get that.
Yeah, pretty much. But she's done all the other ones. She's collected all the bots from all the speedrun levels now.
Excellent.
Basically, all the ones she's missing now are the special, like, the hidden levels.
Mm.
She's got to hit all the hidden levels and then do the final bullshit fucking puzzle level.
I was going to say, help me get the platinum, but you already got it, so...
I've already got it, yeah.
Yeah, that's lame. Oh.
Yeah.
You can at least get it 100% and then she'll feel quite stoked about it.
Yep.
I went and wrapped up the last Astrobot speed run, so they're all done now. All bots are collected. Game is still installed because my son loves it, but I think it's done. That's it.
Yep.
Brilliant game. We'll talk more about that game later.
Apparently, there's still more bots in the credit that still aren't in the game yet. So there may be more updates at some point.
Sick. You know what? And then I'm back. Suddenly I'm okay and I'm back. What I've spent most of my time this week playing.
Masturbation.
That often. And I do feel quite ashamed about that too, because that's where I was leading to. However, what I feel more ashamed about, weirdly, than pulling my dick all the time, is how much I'm enjoying Call of Duty Black Ops 6.
But you said you weren't pulling your dick all the time.
No, absolutely.
No. I did actually play a little bit of Call of Duty.
I work from home. What the fuck else am I going to do?
I gotta get on that.
Yeah. What, pulling your dick? I know that cross...
What's it called? On screen?
Why not? Yay! But no, so I a couple of weeks ago, Call of Duty came out, as we know, beginning of the month, on Game Pass. So I was like, fuck it. Put it up on Game Pass, play it on the PC, and I am having such a legitimately good time. I did a handful of the campaign missions, just because I heard the campaign was really good. I was like, cool. I'm like, I don't even want to play a campaign mission today.
And the horror level yet?
No.
Okay.
Keep playing it, but there was one of those things where I'm like, I don't really feel like the campaign right now. Let's jump into multi. Let's see what this omnidirectional shit is. It fucking rules. Like, it fixes one of my major, largest issues and challenges that I would face when playing Call of Duty is I sprint and then I try to strafe and then I just stop running and I get my shit kicked in. where now I can run. I can, you know. The sliding is something I never really did a lot back in the day, but I think with the sprinting now, it's a lot more endearing and fun to want to slide everywhere. And thankfully, like, no dolphin dives or whatever.
I'm stoked that dolphin dives are in the game still, but it's fucking useless.
Yeah.
Just slide.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, I'm glad I'm not seeing any more dolphin diving, thank Christ. But predominantly, I have been playing more of the standard match types, because I'm quite a big fan of Team Deathmatch and Kill Confirmed. So that's what I have been spending my most time with. On the, like, Nuketown has its own fucking category. It's, yeah, just
that's
Nuketown.
That's what I was playing. I was playing Nuketown 24/7.
Yeah.
From the Nuketown mosh pit.
Yeah, and yeah, I've been drinking. Like, I've playing on PC. I am absolutely. This is the first time I've properly played a Call of Duty on PC, and it is just better. Like, I am more accurate. I'm more responsive. I'm not brilliant, but I'm weirdly better, and I'm hitting, you know, at least the top half of the leaderboard most games. Like, I know for you, you're like, that's bullshit. You're like top two every time, but like. For me, for getting not in the bottom three, big win. Absolutely. No,
these days, I'm just happy I've got a positive KD.
Which impressively, I've got it. I'm like 1-4 or something. Where back in the day, Max, I think I was like 0.6, 0.8, something trash.
Yeah, I will say back in the day, I was like 10.
Yeah, so you were like sweaty and you were pulling up all the kills. So we just got murdered in the back.
Yeah,
we sacrificed our shit for you.
I didn't have glasses and I could see properly, and you know, my brain worked a little bit better than it does now. My reaction times were way faster.
But yeah, no, I am having such a good time. Haven't jumped into zombies yet. Haven't done Warzone because I never really have. The battle royale is not quite for me. But we do need to sync up some time and. Because I think we're friends in the Call of Duty. If not, I friend somebody.
I mean, we're friends. We're definitely friends on.
Are you? Imagine. We're on, yeah. Are you B-Possessed 101 or just B-Possessed?
I'm B-Possessed 101 everywhere.
Oh, well, apparently I'm friends with someone named B-Possessed, but not B-Possessed 101.
I mean, it may be me.
Well, I also sent a friend request to B-Possessed 101, so.
I'll have a look.
Yeah. But yeah, like, we'll jump in. We'll do a couple. We'll cover friends on you. Because you mentioned. You last week, the match types that you prefer are not the standard ones.
Yeah, no, I like the objective. I like playing like domination, capture the flag, search and destroy.
Yeah, so I wouldn't mind like fucking around in there. It'd be fun.
Search and destroy is no respawns.
Oh, that sucks. I hate that one.
What I want to play is league play, but they're like, because it released this week, I believe. But they're like, oh, you have to have won 50 games to play in league play. I'm like, not only have I not played 50 games, I've definitely not fucking won 50 games. Because sometimes your teammates is fucking dumb.
Mm.
Like, sometimes that happens.
Oh, absolutely. And that's this guy, mostly. And there's like the other ones, because there was the... I don't know whether they're in this one or not, because I've not been paying full enough attention. But one of the things I enjoyed in a couple of years ago when they did their version of Battlefield's, like, fuck off hugeness. Has that come through?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I hated that one, though.
No, I always liked that, because it seemed like there was always something cool going on.
Every time I got used to the map, it's like, oh, sorry, new zone. I'm like, oh, fuck, where's everyone hiding this time?
Yeah.
which corner is this prick hiding in with a shotgun this time?
Well, speaking of maps, how are you finding the multiplayer maps?
Oh, I've only been playing Nuketown, and Nuketown's great.
Oh, yeah, because it's Nuketown.
All I've been playing.
It is insane how stupidly good that map is, so much so that it gets re-released almost every Call of Duty, or it feels like it anyway.
But it is the same map as, like, any other two team. You look at, like, Team Fortress maps, or Team Fortress 2 maps. It's essentially... or that famous fucking Halo map where it's just fort on one side, fort on one side,
yeah,
shit in the middle. Like, it's just the best.
And then, yeah, with the buses at different angles, it creates different choke points and lines of sight. You know, it's good.
And it follows the Call of Duty 3 path. You got the right side down the right side of the house, left side down the left side of the house, and middle through the middle of the houses. It's got the verticality of you can go through the bottom floor, you can climb up straight to the top floor of the houses from the outside. Like, it is just a well-designed map. There's no point where you can see from, like, a backyard to backyard, so you can't snipe people off spawn. Great. Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, that's the one thing that I have noticed so a lot in what I've played so far, is I feel that the maps are relatively smaller. There are a couple that are quite large, and there's a particular snowman with a big dish in the middle. And there's, like, a bunch... There's a lot of, yeah, it's a verticality and, like, different... places you can sit and snipe, quote unquote, but you have no clear view of anything because there's just fucking shit everywhere. But like, there's tons of spots to little have your little sniper nest, but you can get like two angles if you're lucky.
Yeah.
But I'm finding that spawn kills are very frequent, whether it be the size of the maps or just because they just happen to pump. Like, even if it's like you ran off the spawn, went around the corner, died, and the guy was running at you, and then he just spawns you back at the same spawn. So you respawn and he's there. If you're lucky, you'll kill him.
It's really bad in Nuketown because everyone knows how the spawns work.
Oh, Nuketown's different though, because that's the expectation. Everyone knows that one so
well. But essentially, it works the same way. Like, if you separate it into, like, if you know how the map's laid out for domination, so it's A, B, C flags. If you control A and B flag, you know that as long as you've got someone sitting inside of A, they will spawn at C.
Oh, yeah. You can get those choke points, yeah.
Yeah, like, you can kind of you know, force that RNG to, in your favor, manipulate the spawns. The term is having an anchor person to hold a point so no one can spawn there. So you can force the spawns where you want them.
I'm not that smart, I can assure you.
No, it's only useful knowledge if you're playing with a full party of friends. If you're playing with random, some asshole's always going to run into their spawn and flip the spawns.
Yeah. Yeah, because fuck rules, man. Everyone's like, I'll play it this way. I'm like, no, I'm just going to play it how I see fit. Outside of that, more Balatro. Still haven't got through to the end yet. It's shit me. Fucking starting to annoy me at this point. I keep getting fucking reamed by that. Hey, surprise, big blind. Whoop, whoop. Like, fuck you.
It depends on when it comes. If it comes, like, right at the end, you're normally fine. If it comes too early, sometimes it can fuck you up.
No, I get... Every time it's appeared at the end, it blasts me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because that's the other... Like, the most I've ever gotten in a single hand, I think's like 15,000, 18,000. And I am genuinely perplexed how people can get that big honking numbers, because once again, my deck selection is limited because I have not got through all 8 antis. So I am I've tried multiple decks and I seem to be having the same block. Like, the RNG is not, I'm not saying the RNG is unforgiving because I have had some good runs, but then I get reamed by the boss blind towards the end. You know, it's like, oh, one hand, and I've got to get fucking 40,000 in one hand. I'm like, are you dumb? There's no fucking way. Except you and everyone that has done it.
Yeah, you kind of get used to what you're going to get and how they all work together and all that crap.
All right, well, then fill me in. What's your, like, Balatro strategy?
It depends. I kind of just rotate. Essentially, whatever my first joker is, I try and build around that so I'm not wasting too many resources. But if something good comes up, then great. I don't buy Arcana packs. Arcana packs can fuck right off.
That's the
tarot cards. Tarot? Upgrade cards.
Yep.
Planets are fine.
Planets are a bust.
And then you build your deck around planets. So if you're, you know, if you've leveled up, I normally try and just go for flushes. Flushes are the easiest to get. And then make sure you're looking at what the skip bonuses are for skipping antis.
Oh, you see, I don't skip them. I know you should, but you could, but I feel obligated to not.
Because you've got to look at them, because sometimes it could be like free spectral pack and that's great. Or it could be the next Joker is going to be monochrome. So it just comes with an inherent 1.5 times multiplier at the end.
Okay.
And it's not an addition, it multiplies your multiplier by 1.5. So if you're sitting on a 40 multiplier, it jumps to 60.
Ooh.
Just from having that one card.
So keep an eye on them skips, okay? Because I don't do them. I have not yet to do them.
Some of them are like disable boss blind. Like some of them are super useful. Like you should be looking at them every time, and like, yeah.
I just assumed the risk and reward of a skip was not good.
It depends on how good your deck's going. It's more forgiving earlier than later sometimes as well, but yeah, it depends.
Okay. All right, so just to run through, so look at the skips.
Yeah, definitely look at the skips.
Build around your first card, which means you have adaptive strategy.
Yeah, so like if your first joker is like all diamonds get X bonuses, and you're like, okay, so every card I want to add to my deck is a diamond now. Doesn't matter what diamond it is, it's diamond now. I'm playing only flushes. So you, you know, if you get a free tarot card that's like transform three cards into another one, you're like, okay, I pick my diamond and I'll transform any three cards into diamonds now.
You have bought like, yeah, so...
Stack the fucking deck. So every time you have a hand, you've got a flush.
You have made me realize a gap in my playing. So when I do go, because I love those little standard card packs.
Oh, I was going to say, do you not buy standard
cards? No, absolutely. I can fucking go to town on them. But I don't buy them based on suit. I buy them based on their power-up.
No. Because then you're just stacking your deck with useless shit that you can't make anything out of. Sure, having a stone card giving you 50...
Oh, fuck stone cards. Gross. Get out of here.
Or glass cards or whatever it is. But you want to pick cards that are going to be beneficial for your hand so you don't have to discard as much. You don't have to...
Okay, I like your thinking.
Yeah.
You have made me reconsider. So once we're completed here, I will go and tackle it with this new... Or I can my portal... No, Ryan, don't play your portal while you're doing a show. That's fucking dumb. All right, let's get to the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you what happened this week in PlayStation. What's been the happening?
She's good. So the banning of social media, which has since been legally defined for under 16s, is a revolutionary concept that is quickly catching on and is apparently, quote, already on the table for POMs in the UK. While it may already be too late for the unfortunate Aussie teens, we are at least happy to confirm that the ban will not impact their ability to play violent, debaucherous PlayStation games to their heart's content.
Violent debauchery.
Thankfully, Australia's little legends will still be allowed access to the PlayStation network, as the proposed ban will not apply to, quote, online video games. Despite the PSN's potentially scary messaging capabilities, services like TikTok, Facebook, Snapchat, Reddit, Instagram, and X will all be prohibited, but bizarrely, YouTube is allowed due to its educational bennies. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese's Labour government introduced a bill yesterday, which enjoys popular support from both major parties and expected to pass. Albo and the politicians supporting him cite spurious evidence and are flying in the face of recommendations of the Australian Human Rights Commission, which has, quote, serious reservations. The commission fears that these proposed laws would, quote, significantly interfere with the rights of children and young people. Yeah, fuck those people.
Yeah, fuck young kids.
There are concerns the move will require all Australians to submit to age and identity verifications to determine who is actually underage, which does seem just a tad authoritarian.
Yeah,
I've pulled up an extra bit of this.
Ooh.
So regulating the act of having an account will prevent age-restricted users from accessing the content and features that are available to signed-in account holders on social media platforms. This will help mitigate the risks arising from harmful features that are largely associated with user accounts or the logged-in state, such as persistent notifications, alerts, being found to have a negative impact on sleep, stress levels, and attention. The obligation would not affect user access to logged-out versions of social media platform. An example, the obligation would not affect the current practice of users viewing content on YouTube without first signing in, which means you can still look at content on Instagram because you don't have to sign in.
Oh, but if you scroll to a certain point, Instagram goes... Bleh.
Yeah. So similarly, Facebook offers users the ability to view some content, such as the landing page of a business or service that uses social media as their business platform without logging in. So as long as it has a login capability that that is what's getting monitored, not the offline logged out version.
Well, yeah, because that would be physically impossible.
Which is why YouTube is all Gucci.
Yeah.
You don't have to sign in to watch YouTube.
It's interesting. Mm. Obviously, I kind of have an issue with the, then you must have this digital ID, which we all have one anyway, but it's just like, you know, it's a tough one. So as Mute in the chat says, I'm just trying to articulate my point. So Mute in the chat says, man, video games ain't the issue or social media. I have an issue with, like, the government dictating, like, how I parent.
They also do that, though.
They also do that, too. I know. Yeah, it's one of those, like, tough, everyone's like, man, I don't want the government knowing where I am, but I have an iPhone.
We're coming dangerously close to, like, it's not, like, video games are the problem. Social media isn't the government. It's that whole, you know, guns don't kill people. People kill people.
With guns.
It's the people that are shit that are causing the problems with social media.
That's absolutely, yeah.
So, I mean, social media inherently is garbo.
It's also fucking shit, yes.
But it is shit because of the people that use it. Like,
yeah. Everyone's like, oh man, blue sky's lovely. It's not shit yet. The answer is yet. At some point, it'll get fucked. Like, Twitter was awesome once. I still enjoy it now because I've curated it. But, like, you know. It's interesting, like, why. I guess it would come down to the reasoning. So what's the main reasoning behind the government's decision? Because if it's around, like, to control...
It's got to be, like, cyberbullying and
but
the rising...
But you can just go to the PSN messages and fuck someone up, like...
No, and the rise, yeah, well, that, yeah.
Like, oh, PSN's not covered. Okay, I'm just going to go call someone a bunch of slurs in direct messaging.
Well, have you joined a Call of Duty live chat lately?
Yes, I've been playing a lot of Call of Duty lately.
Is there still that asshole who plays his music straight into
his
mind?
Oh my god, every fucking cunt. There's like just one every game. There's one prick. And he's, I don't know what it is, but their music are always asshole. Asshole. Some bullshit hip hop's not even good.
It's gotta be that, right? Like, I can't see another reason why they would want to kick everyone off.
Yeah. So, and then in the chat, look at YouTube comments, which is true, but you have to sign in to be leave comments. So, as I said, like, that's where the monitoring then kicks in. But you can still see all the abhorrent shit in the comments from everybody else.
Mm.
So, like, will someone think of the children? Yeah, and I understand that social media does have a very large and strong negative impact on everyone. And if you can get ahead of it before, like, kids and young adults. But even then, they're like, oh, you know, it's to save the kids. I'm like, the fucking sign-in age is 13. So... Yeah, they're still very formative and important years, but if anyone was making accounts before then, that's the fucking parents' dumb shit.
Yeah.
Where do you sit with all this?
Look, it's one of those things of like... like, parents just need to be more aware of what their fucking kids are doing.
Yeah.
Like, it's as simple as that, I feel. You know, but yeah. You're allowing them to have these devices and allowing them to do these things. If you want to put a stop to it, put a stop to it. There are things that you can do.
Yep.
Especially our generation as parents now.
But we should be the most technologically knowledgeable.
Fuck all about technology. But, like, I can go in and be like, okay, I don't even need to tell Hadley and be like, I'll just set up shit on the router so she can't access this. Done. Easy. And I don't have that problem.
You know, like, and I'm very lucky with James in that he understands, like, so he has my old PlayStation 4 at his house. The login on his iPad is my iTunes account. So he could at any point buy games or buy shit through the App Store with my card. But because we've aligned of don't do it, like, don't buy shit, ask us, because either chances are we may already have it, like, once again, the lucky of our situation, or, Like I'd may be open to it if you ask me.
Mm.
So I'm yet to, even accidentally, I've not had an issue because he knows to not get to that point. And that's conditioning for me as a parent and just the luck of my child, because some kids are just shit.
Mm.
So I wonder, you know, like the extra parenting steps then. Like when I hear about all these kids that buy like fucking $3,000 worth of fucking Fortnite skins, I'm like, where were you the entire fucking time as a parent? It's crazy. But once again, our kids are quite young and we haven't hit that fuck you parent energy window yet. So we might be, okay. Maybe.
Hadley's still devastated that I do not have the new Sonic the Hedgehog game. Like, weirdly into it.
Oh, actually, we might have to, because we'll reach out to the local rep and be like, hey, our kids are shitness. Because James did the same thing. We went to Big Wirt the other day to go check out those PlayStation lights that you fried it.
Mm.
And he saw it on the show. He's like, oh, the new Sonic game. Do we have this? I'm like, nah, I don't have this. He's like...
Well, after every fucking Astrobot video Hadley watches on YouTube, it's for some reason Sonic up next.
Yeah.
And she's like, this looks fucking sweet. I'm like, I agree it does, but...
I'm a poker.
I don't have it. I'm sorry.
I don't have it, and I refuse to support Sonic appreciation. Not happening.
Yeah. If he's not partied up with Mario, I don't give a shit about Sonic. If he's not at the Olympics, fuck him.
I have a very similar stance with Sonic. My son loves Sonic because he's on the spectrum, and that seems to go hand in hand. But he also just likes running around. So I'm like, because he's full ADHD energy as well. And Sonic is just ADHD energy.
Mm-mm.
And also, we play a lot of Sonic Team Racing together, which is still insane. They're all fucking so fast, but they choose to get into cars and race each other.
Even the playing field, mate.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. Time stamping. Boom. Thinking with portals. Plural, says Max. Sony made a surprise update to the PS Portal this week, enabling PlayStation Plus premium cloud streaming on the device. This effectively transforms the remote play peripheral into a full-blown handheld, although it does come with some caveats, as like itchiest foot in the world. First, you'll obviously need a PS Plus premium subscription, which costs a lot, about $190
in Australia for premium.
Yeah, when my auto renewed in August, I wanted to fucking die. Because I forgot about it. I was going to bump it down, and I forgot. And I was like, why is my account rooted? Like, oh, that's why. It is on sale right now for the PSN, though, if you want to stock yourself up. You'll also be limited to a selection of approximately 120 games, and PS5 titles are the only ones available. With all that said, Push Square tested the feature, because we pull all our news from Push Square, and they were seriously, they were quite impressed. For full clarification, they have a 200 megabits per second connection. Oh, that's low. And we're testing, for us it is. Right. Yeah.
I'm in Australia, though.
Yeah.
Like, 5 times that fucking speed.
Yeah, 60 is the average Australian one, I'm on like, what? 800, 900, you're in 1,000. They were testing it close to their router. Nevertheless, games loaded in under a minute and were fully playable with no noticeable latency. They did encounter a couple of very minor graphical glitches, but nothing that ruined the experience. Now, the main challenge here, Max, even though I have this, as I highlighted before, this absolutely lovely 30th anniversary PlayStation Portal. We can't take advantage of this feature because we don't have premium here in Australia. We have deluxe, and deluxe comes with no streaming.
Same price tag, no streaming.
Yeah, you pay like $10 less, maybe. and then it's just wrapped in a get fucked. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is kind of shitty. Like, side note, I want fucking premium because I want to play the Resistance trilogy. It came out this month as part of it, and I'm mad that I can't play it. And also, we didn't get any of this. This would be cool. This would be so fucking cool. That'd make the portal amazing.
Yeah, but not all on dial up here anymore. Fucking let us do it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because as we were discussing it after the last week's show, during the week, and I was like, yeah, it's got to be an average internet thing. And you sent me the info, and the average Australian internet is 60 megabits per second, which is not awesome, but it's better than it was.
It meets the minimum requirements according to the PlayStation blog of what you need.
Which is? It's like 20 it's like something. 40. Yeah, 40. Even better. 40. Do it, you fucks.
More Lego on the horizon. Sony and Lego have officially confirmed the new Lego set based on the Horizon series that leaked last week. It is exactly as it was claimed. The set features Aloy, Val, and the Shellwalker and Sawtooth machines. Pre-orders are now live on the Lego website ahead of the release on the 1st of March 2025, and it will cost you around £40.
Oh, shit.
I don't know what the fuck the conversion is for that.
I do have the email somewhere. It's not bad. It's like 60, 70 bucks. So it's like it's really sort of low-key. But
of 768 pieces, which when put together create a sawtooth machine 18 centimeters high and 12 centimeters long. You will get Aloy and Val as individual figures, and the Shellwalker can also be constructed. Alongside them, there are little bits of scenery like a chest, a campfire, and some grass. You can pose the arms and legs of the Shellwalker, open its claws, detach the cargo pod and energy shields. The sawtooth can then have its jaw open and certain body parts posed.
So looking at the Australian website, I cannot currently pre-order the set, but it will be $69.99 and it will be coming soon on the 1st of March. That is not soon. Max, you've got a tall neck back there. I have a tall neck over there. You adding a Shellwalker to your shelf?
The Shellwalker's tiny. This is a sawtooth set, and it's sort of just
Shellwalker and sawtooth, Max.
It should have just been a fucking sawtooth, like the fucking tall neck.
It is still quite tiny though.
Don't give me crabs as well. I just want the fucking.
Actually, if it was too like, you know, they could have been sneaky and made it two $40 sets.
And second, why the fuck isn't it just a big fuck off Thunderjaw?
Yeah, where's my Thunderjaw at? But yeah, I'm buying the fuck out of this. You shitting me?
Mm-hmm. Like, speaking of buying the fuck out of things.
But yeah, in short, the set looks fine. Compared to the tall neck, it feels way less like low poly. That's because it is smaller. But it just feels like you feel like it was an LD set. It's Timu Lego.
It's Timu Lego.
Yeah. Elgo.
Shop like a billionaire.
Speaking of buying things, though. You can segue now, Max. Is it my turn? Oh, fuck!
I'm totally rated if you want me to.
I can get in there. All right. Look,
I feel like this affects me more than
I'll do it, but you can chat about it because you care. Katakawa Corp has responded to reports of interest from Sony regarding a potential takeover by confirming that it has received a, quote, initial letter of intent, end quote. That sounds very romantic. From the company. In a newly issued statement, Katakawa added, no decision has been made as to whether it was going through the acquisition. So for context, rumblings this week were that Sony would be purchasing or had put an intent to purchase Katakawa Corp, which is the parent company of FromSoft and Spike Chunsoft and anime things. So following on from that, the comment that they released reads as the follows. Quote, there are some articles on the acquisition of a Katakawa Corporation, here and after the company, by Sony Group Incorporated. However, this information is not announced by the company. The company has received an initial letter of intent to acquire the company's shares, but no decision has been made at this time. If there are any facts that should be announced in the future, we will make an announcement in a timely and appropriate manner, end quote. From a video game perspective, the most prominent outcome from such a deal would see Elden Ring, Dark Souls team From Software fall under the leadership of Sony. Katakawa also has Danganronpa, developer Spike Chunsoft, I fucking dug that game, under its wing. However, another very important factor is this ties Katakawa has to the manga and anime industry, which Sony already has a large role in through the ownership of Crunchyroll and
Funimation, I think.
Like, yeah, combined them earlier in last year. When exploring reasons why Sony might want to purchase Katakawa, quote, Sony has gone on record as saying it needs more IP to grow its entertainment footprint. End quote, speaking to investors earlier in the year, CFO Hiroki Totoki pointed out, whether it's for games, films, or anime, we don't have that much IP that we fostered from the beginning. While skeptics would argue that acquired IP is still not content created from the beginning, which is in Xbox's entire business model, there's no doubt that buying Katakawa would effectively solve that issue Totoki was talking about. Max, as you said, this is going to affect you way more than me.
This is how we get Bloodborne 2.
It feels like this is like, there's no way they'd get it done. Like, well, we'll just. Sony, what's that? Thanos on the fine. We'll do it ourselves. Just buy
Sony own the IP for Bloodborne. And they know that they don't have anyone that can make it. So they're going to buy the people that can. Although, I feel they could just give it to fucking Bluepoint and Bluepoint and smash it out of the park.
You would assume so, right?
Yeah.
But, where are you with this?
So, this would be cool. Spike Chunsoft's latest big hit was Dragon Ball Sparking Zero. They did that. That'd be cool. Mm-hmm. The big thing that will probably stop this from going through is the fact that I think if they were to purchase it, Sony would own like almost all of the anime.
Yeah.
It would just be all theirs.
I believe so.
Which is like a big no-no.
Yeah. At least they're a Japanese company, though.
I can't get me wrong. Obviously, Netflix are dabbling. Hulu has bought like a ton of rights to certain animes from Crunchyroll, which is owned by Sony anyway. So there's other things out there, but that would probably be the big thing that would probably stop this from going through. I don't know if they could just spin off the anime leg of the company and be like, we just want the game developers and publishers. But who knows? And obviously, who knows if this will even go through. I would love to know how much it's going to cost them.
Yeah. I think...
nowhere near close to what Microsoft paid for ABK.
Well, and obviously,
significantly more than what they paid for fucking Bungie.
Yeah. And they were $3 billion.
Yeah. At least these guys would be worth their money.
Bungie. To expand on that point, though, like the purchase of Katakawa would be worth the money because it does hit that transmedia, right? Like it's TV, movies, and games. Like it's multiple things that are beneficial outside of just buying game studios. So that makes sense.
Do I think if the sale goes through, they would make all their shit exclusive?
Probably. No. No fucking way.
That would be crazy.
Well, I think the main reasoning there is I don't see them, if this goes ahead, will they make From Software exclusive? No. They've seen the success of that, of their games. Will it be on Game Pass? No fucking chance. But PlayStation and Sony already know that if there's a multi-platform game that is released, majority of people will buy it on PlayStation anyway.
Yeah.
So they don't have to do that unless there's something like... FromSoft is too prolific and far-reaching to make that call. That call would be a garbage fucking call and would drastically decrease their earnings, which they would make mostly anyway from their console and the PC. But... yeah, no, I think that's probably the game. So I was trying to think of a way to articulate that better, but I think I'm pretty much on the money. How about yourself? They wouldn't make that call.
Oh, no, not at all. No. It'd be crazy.
But as a customer, though, Max, and a customer of anime, are you, like, moist at the idea of all the animes in one spot?
It's helpful, but I'm still not watching all my anime in one spot anyway. Like, I cancelled my Crunchyroll subscription a couple of years back. Mainly when the fucking interest rates fucking went straight up. I'm like, that was the first cut that I made. I'm like, because all the anime that I'm watching at the moment is available on Netflix and Disney Plus. It is cool to have everything in one spot. The quote unquote free version of Crunchyroll is arsehole. Like, there's almost nothing on there anymore. You have to have premium to watch almost anything of note. I got really pissed off. Like, it didn't affect me, but I got really pissed off when Funimation's like, we're basically closing down, everything's moving over to Crunchyroll. Anything you bought through Funimation's just, like, fucking gone now. It's like a big one. And, like, although that, again, it didn't affect me, I was still really, like, come on, guys. You're moving it over to a platform that you already own. Just fucking give people vouchers. They've already given you the money for it. Come on.
Yeah, it just it would just be a code sub. Like, hey, here's your, you know, or even like, hey, we've transferred it. Like,
yeah,
you still own it. It's just you get a new receipts or whatever.
Yeah, but yeah, from a lover of From Software stuff, bring them over. Let them do their magic. Slowly increase their size so they can pump out more of that magic more often.
Yeah,
don't let Bungie touch them and turn them into a live service game.
Yeah, don't let Bungie fucking stay shit. Oh, it's not very sticky. Like, you shut the fuck up.
I don't want the Elden Ring MMO.
Yeah, it's like, I'll have to go with your thoughts is, because for me, I look at this and I go, okay, cool. I understand the appeal, and the major concerns that I have as someone that doesn't care about Soulsborne or FromSoft at large is... My care would be if they were to make things exclusive, but they're not going to. Well, the presumption is that they'd be so dumb to. So I have no concerns. From the anime perspective, I do see your point about the monopoly of anime. And I do certainly think that in a post-ABK world, I do believe the regulators will be a lot more observant on large-scale mergers and acquisitions. So what... Although I think a number of years ago, if they were to do this, it would likely not have been noticed because no one would have really cared. But in a post-ABK world, they'll be paying full-blown attention to this from any sort of monopolistic...
And you know, one could argue that anime is more popular than it ever has been.
It absolutely is, and I still don't know why.
You're fucking great, Ryan. Watch Arcane.
Arcane's not anime. It's animated.
It's beautifully animated.
Yeah, it does look fantastic.
The French really fucking knocked it out of the park.
French? Oh, is this okay? It's
a French studio. I'm pretty sure.
Nice.
Quick bits.
Excuse me. Hang on, quick bits. Give me this timestamp.
There's not many.
There you can go now. Find many.
Chris Judge takes to Twitter to quash the rumors of God of War announcements.
Yeah, what a fucking 12 hours this has been, eh?
Yeah, so he did a live stream on TikTok. He's like, announcements are coming. And then ended with, boy. And then everyone's like, this is it.
Oh, shit,
fucking Game Awards is coming up. We're going to get some new God of War shit. It's going to be fucking great. Maybe Chris Judge has revoiced Kratos in this fucking Greek saga remaster, whatever. Blah, blah. And he's like, I don't know. I don't know anything. I can't leak what I don't know.
What I like, though, is it looked like he...
I think it's bullshit.
He did it. He went to bed.
He did it. He woke up to a cease and desist and like, you're fucked. And he's like, I better retract this shit.
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, he said some shit on a stream, went to bed, woke up and went, oh, fuck. And then that's where the tweet comes up and like, whoa, 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 whoa. I do love that though, in the same way that we woke up going, what the fuck is this news? And then throughout our day, he's waking up and going, what the fuck's this news? But I love that, yeah, the creator of the news is as perplexed as we were.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish there was some news, though. Ooh.
Black Myth Wukong takes home the ultimate game of the year at the Golden Joystick Awards.
Yeah, completely fan-voted Golden Joysticks. Probably the same a bajillion people in China that bought and played that game.
And for some reason, Final Fantasy 14 is going fucking mobile.
Wait, is it the... No, like...
Yeah.
The MMO.
The Final Fantasy 14 MMO is going mobile.
Well, that is incredibly fucking dangerous. And it doesn't affect me, so go ahead.
It will not have all classes at launch, and it will only be a Realm Reborn at launch.
So is it still... Is it your same account?
It can't be. It can't be. If they're not putting all the character classes in, it can't be. Because if your character's logged out as a class that doesn't exist in the mobile version, it'll just fucking die. It's got to be its own thing.
Then
right?
Why? Because people have spent years, thousands of dollars and hours and effort to then go, oh, let's get it on mobile, but I can't do anything to my other character. It's fucking insane. Actually, well, Max, is you as a former Final Fantasy player. You want on your phone?
No.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I'm hooked on League of Legends on my phone. It's bad enough.
Yeah, the amount of fucking trading card game, and I'm so glad I had a Pokemon trading card game.
Okay, cool. So I'll tell that story now. Okay. I last week. So you brought up Pokemon TCG Pocket. I too am playing Pokemon TCG Pocket. I open it twice a day to open my packs.
I'm gonna do a quick check of mine. I think I'm near my pack time.
My I just got a notification about 10 minutes
ago. Oh, I should probably turn the notifications on.
I still haven't pulled a Charizard EX.
Oh, I pulled one today.
So last week, I went to my wife. I'm like, hey, I want you to go through all the steps. Push the button, open the pack, do the slip. Pull the cards. She's like, Charmander. I'm like, okay, we're getting there. It's almost there. And you go through it. Garbage. Everything garbage. I'm like, one of the Charizard man. She's like, you got Charmander, just evolve it. I'm like, what the fuck are you on about? She's like, well, that's
that's got new cards. Got myself a Ninetales. I almost did your story, by the way.
You just got to evolve it. I'm like, that's not how fucking trading cards work, mate.
Well, but like, once again, her logic isn't wrong, right? Like, it is how Pokemon works.
That's wrong, though.
She's absolutely incorrect, but...
So every morning now, if it pops beforehand, I let Hadley open the pack.
Yep.
Because, like, I'm the one with the bad luck, so Hadley will open it in the morning.
How is your daughter's luck going for you?
No, she's garbage, too. I haven't opened something good in fucking ages. Although, in saying that, this morning we pulled the full art Charmander.
Oh, nice. So
that was nice.
See, I do feel I'm at that, like...
I pulled a full art. All right, here we go.
Really? Like, right now?
Turning into a card opening stream. Hang on. Where we go?
Oh, that's a Skiddo. Yep. Okay. Cool.
You know, like that.
I can see him.
Juicy full art. Yeah.
Double. That's not very exciting. Weeping Bell. Hey. Oh, I don't know. That's pretty cool. Golem. Oh, you got one of him. Oh, a Slowpoke. That's a goodie.
God damn it.
All right. Yeah. Let me. This is how we end the show. The fucking PlayStation show, playing stupid goddamn card Pokemon cards.
Card company sent me up. If you want more quality card opening content like that.
Oh, we are so down for like card content. Let me get wrong.
The Magic the Gathering people, I hear you're doing a Final Fantasy run next year. It's your boy right here.
Hey, Shane. That's totally take advantage of our friendship.
I totally want one of those foundation packs.
Oh,
I totally teach my daughter how to play Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, got a shiny Kingler. And a Koga. I got a new Koga. I didn't have him before. And done.
None of those cards on you. I had all of those cards, by the way. I already had that fucking...
is that why you were unexcited by it?
Yeah, I was unexcited because I already had one.
I mean,
I think I got three of them now.
But look, we're sitting here like dicking about on our fucking phone games. Are there any other games coming out this week, Max?
No.
Oh, okay.
Let me pull up a list. I'll see.
While you do that, we'll talk about Trading Card Game Pocket. Like for me, like I feel that I'm the new cards are so few and far between that it's kind of insane. And you're further, like your collection is more.
I have 800 cards now. So I was reading an article the other day. The guy spent $1,500. He opened 1,400 and something packs to complete the decks. Not once did he pull a god pack. which is like all five.
Yeah, I'm yet to see a god pack, but like, you know, social media is bubbling them to the top.
I don't think they exist. I've never seen one.
I think they're fake.
All right, here we go.
But then again, we have had friends that have pulled them.
Mm, they're fake too.
Looking at you, Brendan.
Yes. Okay. First up, we have... What day is it today? Dropping 2 days ago was Spirit Man's up here. we've got Glitch Hero coming to PS5 and PS4 on November 28th.
Is that here?
Did I?
Oh.
We have Snow Bros. Wonderland coming to PS5 and PS4 on November 28th.
Snow Bros. Sounds like this. You would name the sequel to Wolf of Wall Street.
And that's not. That's it. That's it.
Because in the chat, we've got a Power Rangers reference and named. Oh, that's the 10th. That's a little too far away. And Soul Reaver is probably a little too far away
as well. Yeah, Soul Reaver is like the 14th, I think.
Yeah.
Fantasian, which is the Final Fantasy game, is coming on the 5th. So that's a bit over. Animal Crossing Pocket Camp Complete's coming to Android and iOS on December 2nd. Like, yeah, if you want more Nintendo phone games.
No, I don't.
Oh, speaking of fake friends pulling good cards on Pokemon TCG Pocket, apparently Dylan pulled a fucking Full Art Charizard EX 10 minutes ago. Piece of shit.
I'm not going to lie, that was one of my like first cards.
I mean, that's because you started with the Charizard. Correct. I think, yeah, so one of the first cards I pulled was the Mewtwo EX because I picked the Mewtwo deck.
Yeah. The thing that's fucking annoying, I know we're back to Pokemon, but the thing that's fucking annoying me is like you can tell that it's completely random, which is nice, but like when I'm getting multiple of the same fucking card in the same fucking pack.
Opening, it's like buying and opening a real pack.
Yeah, but you never get two of the same fucking card in a pack because that's dumb. I've never got two of the same pack.
I mean, that's rare, but...
I would flip my shit if I got that in person. Oh, Craig's got a shiny.
Yeah.
Oh, you do? Oh, well, I've just been very, very lucky because I would fucking scream. All right, Max, let's get out of here.
All righty, everybody. This Pokemon TCG Pocket conversation happens... No, this PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. I think we've got Blue Skies now.
We have Blue Sky now.
I have one. I don't use it.
I have one. I don't know what the fuck to do with it.
Shocker, am I right? Yeah, hit us up. You got any ideas? Christmas time's coming. Share the love.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures, watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, you can tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you're listening to a podcast service, we give it a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popculturescom.com, shop. Wearing my shirts. I was sort of shit without logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. And Buddy Watson joins the chat with Bellatro Game of the Year. And objectively, like, it's in my top three. Like, I have fucked with that game so hard. Like, I want to play it right now. We were slightly late to start recording. Because I was playing Blanchro and being bad at it and being mad. So
yeah, I literally messaged you at 7:15 going, I am ready whenever you are. And you're like, I'm playing Blanchro. I will come when I finish this round. And then right on 8:00, you're like, I lost.
Yeah, I should have said not round. I should have said the fucking game because I did many rounds.
I knew exactly what you fucking meant. I'm like, at 7:30, I'm like, does this asshole know you can just fucking quit and pick up where you left off?
No, but I was
like,
enjoying
it. You're going to get on and be like, I didn't know that.
Well, I did know that. I just didn't want it. I just want to play it.